You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it's a Monday. Welcome to it. It's a Monday post-Thanksgiving, post-Iron Bowl. We'll talk about that. But anyway, it's a Monday and Butters is on the board. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Still recovering from a little turkey hangover, but I'm here. With you.
What's the stuff that comes in turkey? Is it tryptophan?
Tryptophan.
Oh yeah, just piling on the tryptophan.
Oh yes, as long as it's enjoyed with plenty of stuffing.
Loosen the pants a notch and sit back in the chair and be gone.
Yes, yes. So now I don't eat for days.
Hey, we appreciate you being here, man. Thank you so much for taking the helm as Boomer has started his first day at the new gig today, actually. So anyway, glad you're here.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Excited for him and big shoes to come in and fill, as always.
He has big feet. He does have big feet.
Yeah, well.
But anyway, you're here, and we're glad of it. Thank you, buddy. That's Butters on the board. He's going to be, and for those of y'all that did not hear, yeah, last week was Boomer's last week with us. An opportunity came along for he and his family that they just felt like praying through it they had to take, and so that is where he is right now. But in the meantime, Butters knows where all the buttons are, and allegedly he's going to push them all at the right time. So, yay! By the way, he and I both drink coffee. So you got that coffee sound effect? Can you just play that one just for grins? I mean,
coffee time!
Yeah!
Coffee.
Oh, it keeps on going. All right, listen, we got a great show laid on for you. By the way, at 3 o'clock today, Major General Joe Arbuckle, who's been on the show multiple times, General Arbuckle has become a great friend of the show. He is somebody who works with an organization called STARS, which is a group of admirals and generals who care deeply about the policies that are being put in place, basically wokeness in the military and the degradation of our military force and the lack of readiness. Anyway, General Arbuckle is going to be on the line with us at 3 o'clock, which will be a part of what we have in the Triple Dipper. So speaking of which, Triple Dipper, hit it, man.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. First out the gate, building the force. Building the force. I mean, right now, I don't know if you're aware of this, right now we have the lowest standing army that we've had since World War II. Let me say that again. We have the smallest standing army since World War II, right now. How did that happen? Well, it's a combination of downsizing the military, because the Biden administration does that, and poor recruiting efforts and COVID vaccine mandates, expulsions, and you name it. But yeah, building the force is number one on the Triple Dipper. We'll cover that along with our conversation with General Joe Arbuckle. And then the next number, number two on the Triple Dipper, thugs and liars. That's what they are. These Hamas the brutes, these animals that are taking prisoners or hostages and letting them go a little bit at a time. Thugs and liars, that's all they are. Thugs and liars. They are not worthy of the attention that they're getting, but we have no choice but to pay attention because of the things that they've done. And one of the most recent is, by the way, they were willing to let go of a four-year-old. A four-year-old. I just got back from being with my grandkids for Thanksgiving. My grandson is 4 years old. I look at the innocence of that age, and I think, who does this? How about the 84-year-old woman who was released after 51 days in the tunnels without her medications? They took an 84-year-old woman away on a motorcycle and kept her captive for 51 days. She's now in intensive care because of the condition she was in when they sent her back home. Thugs and liars. We're going to talk about it, and we're going to paint a pretty clear picture about who we're dealing with. And then number three, did you hear, and by the way, this is pretty close to Butters and I, did you hear about the Christmas drag show in Albertville, Alabama? What Yeah, man. Small towns. It's not just the big city, San Francisco, Chicago kind of thing. Now, we're talking about the transgender agenda. It's pretty real. It's pretty everywhere. It's even in small towns. We'll talk about it. Number three on the Triple Dripper, I'm calling it What a Drag. Little play on words, little euphemism, but it's really not funny, especially when you consider that the United Nations has a plan, and that may be where some of this is coming from. What a Drag, number three on the Triple Dipper. All right, let me jump over here to my opening comments, the opening monologue, The Right Side Way. And I want to remind you guys, we're real thankful, Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care is a sponsor of The Right Side Way monologue every single day. And y'all, Southern Immediate Care is a chain of clinics throughout our listening area, multiple locations, 7 days a week they're open. They'll see all ages, pediatric to geriatric. And this is who I use personally, and I have for quite some time. Southern Immediate Care. An amazing opportunity for you to receive the medical care you want. Just look up the location nearest to you and tell them you heard about it on the Right Side. But they are also, by the way, the sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. All right, let me jump in here. And I'll start off by saying, there's an old saying that ungrateful people complain about the one thing you haven't done for them instead of being thankful for the thousands of things you do for them. I mean, it's true. But I feel like it's reaching new levels of late. Have you ever given someone something only to have them cast it aside as if it meant nothing? Just like a complete, petulant, and spoiled lack of appreciation. The kind that receives the gift and then throws it away, or even squanders it for that matter. You know, history is replete with epic tales of prodigals who forsake everything because they think they know something. I've seen the finest families with kids who grew up being given every opportunity only to have the same work ethic, patriotism, and gratefulness to simply skip a generation as the entitled progeny spurns anything they were given. I mean, how many cliches exist? Things like biting the hand that feeds you, or Shakespeare's King Lear who said, quote, sharper than a serpent's tooth is a thankless child. Do you remember Veruca Salt? Veruca Salt. If you ever saw Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and I'm talking about the original version from 1971, not the creepy Tim Burton version, but Veruca Salt from Willy Wonka, she was a spoiled child who constantly demanded and cajoled and expected and manipulated and overindulged. She was a royal pain to everyone around her with no sense of what it took for her to actually have gotten the golden ticket. She wanted two of everything. Her song was, I want the world. I want the whole world. I want to lock it all up in my pocket. It's my bar of chocolate. Give it to me now. There was no other character in that movie that was less liked than Veruca Salt, a completely ungrateful complainer. But luckily, our nation has never relied on complainers for our founding. It's the doers, not the complainers, who build a society. Sort of like another of those old sayings that can't never did, won't never will. At some point, we have to quit looking to the complainers and just get back to being busy doing. But still, there are those in our society, they don't care a whit for the freedoms that have been built for them with costly blood and treasure, and just watch them constantly tearing at the fabric of our nation. It's hard to watch. Case in point, maybe some of you have the tradition of watching the annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. This past week was the 99th Macy's Parade, and it was even led by the marching band from Alabama A&M. But in true petulant form, a group of radical leftists did everything they could to destroy everybody else's fine morning by blocking the route, gluing themselves to the street, and then unfurling their banners with the odd combo messaging of Free Palestine and Save the Climate. I mean, nothing says support for terrorism and the combating of climate change more than just pasting your little uncalloused hands to a city street. Perhaps the high point, though, for most parade observers was when the NYPD just simply put a barricade around the glued-down miscreants and the giant balloons and marching bands just bypassed them anyway. But they couldn't stop there. Pro-Palestinian protesters then went and vandalized the front of the famous Manhattan branch of the New York Public Library with red paint and defaced some of the carved marble reliefs so badly that adorn its exterior that some of them may have to be replaced. In all, we know that at least $75,000 worth of damage was done in just that one batch of petulance. In an even worse incident, though, in Queens, New York, this past week, a teacher had to lock herself in an office at the school as several hundred students in the high school rioted and ransacked the hallways for nearly 2 hours because that teacher had posted on her social media that she supported Israel. The students were demanding the school fire the teacher, and when they couldn't find her and they couldn't force their way into the office, they decided that violence and mayhem was just their right. Never mind that her rights didn't matter to them. Epic fail on their part, as I feel certain that no one in New York was swayed to feel moved to join in the various climate or terrorism support efforts. Not a one. But the irony is that generations have fought and toiled and built in order to be able to provide those same knuckleheads the freedom of speech needed to be able to espouse such a contrary opinion. But they're not content with freedom of speech unless they can ruin somebody's day, or ruin a day that's even designed to give thanks, disrupt the flow of other people's lives, destroy timeless architecture. There's a vast spirit of ungratefulness, and it comes across like a group of spoiled children who are never satisfied with what they've been given. We saw the same as Antifa and BLM protesters burned whole city blocks and defaced monuments, tore down statues during the Summer of Love. There's a complete and utter disconnect among the radical left that leads them to believe that the freedom of speech that they've been given in some way gives them carte blanche to also destroy and disrupt. But it does not. Is there something that we're supposed to say to help them with their lack of understanding? I mean, you could try. But the same folks who would try to stop children and families from enjoying a parade or deface a public library or try to track down and assault a teacher, those same people are not likely to acquiesce to mere common sense. At some point, we have to move our balloons and our marching bands right on by them and go about the business of building this nation. I say that because there's another old saying, and this one comes from Jesus himself in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 7, Jesus urged his followers to, quote, not cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. In that passage, he was referring to those who didn't want to hear the gospel, but over time, the phrase about casting your pearls before swine, it's become synonymous with the notion that sometimes it's better to just move on from a miscreant than to spend time trying to create some gratefulness that they're never going to buy into. It doesn't mean that they're not welcome back. It doesn't mean that we're not concerned for them or that we would not gladly receive them home if they wanted to come back. But if the radical left is intent on continuing a path of threats and destruction and demands, then at some point, our responsibility is to build with those with whom we share a spirit of gratefulness for all the country offers, to not cast our pearls before swine. Pearls before swine. That's a very apropos designation. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. There is. There's like a petulance, an ungratefulness, a whole Veruca Salt type attitude that simply says, hey, I'm not at all grateful, and I don't care what you think. I'm going to destroy something in the process till I get what I want. Well, y'all, I'm just telling you, at some point we have to move on. Hope they'll come home one day, but we've got to continue building our nation and regrouping around conservative policy and procedures and principles. And I'm just saying, casting pearls before swine, maybe time to move on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.